Our gospel story this morning is from John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 36. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. This is the word of the Lord. We too wish to see Jesus. These Greeks have heard about the man who can heal the sick, who never turns anyone away, who walks on water, who talks to God, and they want to see this Jesus, who has the power to solve all of their problems. The crowds would gather to hear him and wait for the day when he would end the Roman occupation, raise their dead children, ensure perfect crops, and bring justice for all the suffering and persecution and sorrow they had endured. I can imagine crowds gathering to hear Jesus today, waiting for the news that their student debt has been erased, that their chronic pain will never return, that the urge to smoke or take other addictive drugs would vanish, that systemic generational poverty has been resolved, that everyone has access to clean water and healthcare and education and healthy food, that peace has been declared everywhere. I want to see that Jesus. Don't you? But when Jesus is told about the Greeks who want to see him, he doesn't grab his Sharpie and check his hair so that they can get his autograph and a selfie. He doesn't gather up his inner strength to perform the miracle they are no doubt longing for. He doesn't take a drink of water before preparing to tell them all about the one true God. He doesn't grab a basin in order to wash their feet. No, a group of Greeks politely expresses their wish to see him. And Jesus goes to speak to a crowd about how he is about to die. The voice of God rolls down like thunder, and the crowd does not understand. And when they ask Jesus what he means, he tells them that the light will only be with them for a little while longer. What? We wish to see Jesus, not this strange man who speaks in parables and metaphors that we can't understand. We wish to see Jesus, not this morbid man who says that he will die before he can solve our problems. We wish to see Jesus, not this weak man who speaks to God and to angels but doesn't even have the power to stop his own death. Why isn't this Messiah anything like what we thought he would be like? We wish to see Jesus, but on our terms. We don't want the kind of Messiah who will die, because we are already too uncomfortable to consider the prospect of our own deaths, to face up to the fact that Jesus Christ, the Logos, the second person of the Trinity, God, God's self, could possibly die. Die for us. Die because of us. Die as a direct result of our own desire to spill blood. Jesus talked about his own death. Jesus talked about it an awful lot in the Gospel of John, especially. Even while he was actively dying, he made arrangements for his mother's care. Even while he was actively dying, he comforted those who were dying alongside him. If we want to be like Jesus, then we need to talk about our own deaths too, prepare for them, make them as easy as possible for those whom we love. If we really believed in the resurrection, we would be able to talk comfortably about death. We wouldn't brush it off with, "But you're so young, why would you worry about that now?" Or, "Can't we talk about something more pleasant?" Or, "Oh, I'll just let someone else figure that out." No matter how much better we believe it is to be with God, no matter how genuinely we believe that pain is gone, no matter how fervently we believe that death is not the end, it still hurts to say goodbye, and we are determined to put it off for as long as we possibly can. We wish to see Jesus, but we wish to see the Jesus who raised Lazarus or Jairus' daughter from the dead, not the submissive, beaten Jesus in chains, being escorted up the hill by Roman guards. We wish to see Jesus, but we wish to see the resurrected Jesus shining in glory, not the bloodied, tearful Jesus hanging on the cross, skin darkened by bruises. We wish to see Jesus, but we wish to see the wise Jesus as he teaches us by the lakeshore, talking about love and God and light, not the limp, lifeless form of Jesus as he is brought down from the cross. We wish to see Jesus, but we wish to see the smiling Jesus, welcoming the little children into his arms, not the cold, unmoving body of Jesus, as he was wrapped in a shroud for a hasty burial. We wish to see Jesus, but the problem with God coming to earth to live among us is that in order to really see him, we have to face the realities we don't want to face. If Jesus was able to die with grace and with love, then we should be willing to face not just his impending death, but our own. The darkness is coming. And the thing about darkness is that you can't close your eyes to escape it. The darkness is coming. And the only force against darkness is light. But that light is about to be extinguished, whether we're ready for it or not.